Well, welcome back to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. I think we have a rather special moment here with our sound engineer. Is that correct, Andrew?
That's correct, Maestro. We have some thoughtful words of wisdom from our hardworking sound engineer, Mr. Nate Butler.
There's nothing so profound or great as a moment with Nate.
Brings tears to my eyes.
George, I was drinking my breakfast beverage of orange juice and chocolate milk. Ooh. To wake me up.
That would do it. Yeah. I'd send you running too.
Anyways, I was pondering the I get to sit here and watch John Baylor just tear up his mandolin or his guitar. He's just, killing it. But I think sometimes he could get a little outside the box. And, I wonder why he's never wired it up to a Boss MT2 and really let her rip.
That would certainly do it. It might blow his hat right off the top of his head. Yeah, yeah. And that was a moment with Nate. All right, we're back having fun, and we're here with Claudia Schmidt. Claudia, tell me about your background in theater, because you would you have done that in high school as well?
No, unfortunately. I mean, if there was theater, I did it, but we didn't. We almost had nothing in my little school. So actually, what happened is I ran away with a theater group after high school. They were called the Covenant Players.
The Covenant Players.
And it was completely grassroots. We would perform in churches and schools and coffee houses and prisons. We would stay in people's homes. We would have like a dollar limit on meals when we went into restaurants. It was a total low budget, no illusions. It was a great way to learn about theater because you had no opportunity to get fully yourself, and we would go into places we would have to block on the spot, figure out where we were going to be. Yeah. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it gave me all these skills I was able to draw off of when I went back to performing, because I did almost no music for that year I was with them. And then I was missing the music. It was just time to do something else. And I went back to Michigan. I worked for the New Baltimore supermarket for the summer I was back as cashier, during which time they kept me on. The till never balanced out, but they said I was so great with the people that they kept me on. and then I went to Ann Arbor for a little while. I tried to go to college. That didn't quite work out. And that's when that old friend of mine offered me the job in Chicago. I was just kind of at loose ends and drove off to Chicago.
Now, did you have the 12 string by then? And
yes, I did. I not
and
this
the dulcimer.
One, but I had a 12 string, and I had a different dulcimer than right. I have now. And I had bought the 12 string. I went right from classical to 12. I didn't know from guitars really. I'm not a geek that way at all. And so I really got a 12 string because I felt like it was a good deal. I felt like I was getting 12 for the price of 6.
Well, would you play another song for
us? Yeah, I was going to move to the dulcimer for this next one.
Please do. Yeah. Please do.
Well, I mean, it's so exciting because I have a moon song, and I just unveiled it last night. I was up in Dexter, Michigan, and being a person who's always lived in the land of violent seasonal changes, there are songs that for me just they belong to the specific season in which they're written, and I sort of put them away for the rest of the year. And so I guess it means that the season has really moved on because this song is back. Summer night so lovely. How can you be should be laughing and scheming. Come along. Maybe I will sing you a moon song. Not just any moon, it's a rare moon. It's the banana moon. That time I lived on Beaver Island, we had beautiful night skies because it was so dark there. And I was out on one of those summer nights enjoying the night sky, lying on the ground. I was actually lying right in the middle of the road because there's not much traffic on Beaver Island even in the summer. And I wanted the unobstructed view, looking up at that moon. And I started thinking, here's this partial moon, this in-between moon. That doesn't have any specific name. I can't call it anything besides waxing or waning or gibbous. Even though those in-between moons are most of the month's moonage. You follow me? And so it occurred to me that it isn't until they get full that they get the names and the glory and the legends and the hoop-de-doo. And so I thought maybe this is a metaphor for our difficulty with transition, that until they get there, we just kind of go, blah, 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 blah. And so the moon, I was so grateful to be acknowledged as an important part of the process that night that it revealed itself to me as the moon which appears in this song. So I like to think of this as one contribution to a growing body of partial moon songs as we learn to love and embrace change. Thank you so much. It's so bright. We can pick blackberries at midnight. I can see your teeth when you smile at me. Ooh, when you are smiling at me. It's not a perfect full moon, but we are perfect fools out under a perfectly foolish, oh, banana moon. It's a different kind of island music. It's Beaver Island music. All right, here's some of those full moons. Got your 10 colds moon, your mad moon, got your long night moon, hunger moon, got your snow moon, crow moon, your green grass moon, planting moon, you got your wild rose moon, honey moon, got your hunger moon, yeah, moon when the cherries turn black, oh baby, but tonight we got banana moon, oh yes we do, up in the sky. And says, but I'm not even all there. No, I look right back up and say, banana moon, neither am I. Now follow me now. Shine on, shine on, banana moon. Shine, yeah, yeah. Shine on, shine on, shine on, banana moon, up in the sky. Banana, 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 cream pie moon. Oh, you're so high. You're so high.
That was such a tasty song. That was great. Tell me about some of this work with Sally Rogers that you did.
Oh, well, Sally Rogers, who is my singing sister, it's this weird thing where we both grew up in Michigan. We had all these common things in our lives, but we never met during that time. We grew up in different parts of Michigan. We both lived in Milwaukee, but at different points of our lives. Both of our dads are named Gus. Both of our middle names are Jane. There's all this stuff, but we had never met. I learned a song of hers called Lovely Agnes about her grandmother that I was singing before she was even on tour. And then we met up in 1981. There was this wonderful little festival called North Country Folk Festival up in the Upper Peninsula, Ironwood, Michigan. And Phil Cusera got us together for on purpose, I think. And that was where we first sang for the first time on stage together. And man, we just like took off. And through the 80s and early 90s, we're actually on the road a lot until they adopted two daughters and she got kind of busy raising her kids and wanting to be home, and I moved to Beaver Island. But we've always stayed in touch over the years, doing a couple concerts a year. And there's just this wonderful, if we haven't seen each other in 6 months and we have to get together for a concert, we're just there. We're often running, you know, and we have this kind of, a friend described our singing together as blood harmony, because we've spent so much time singing together. Now we just follow along. And so it's a wonderful, one of the different things I do, one of the different musical hats I put on is when I do my duo stuff with Sally. And she also plays dulcimer, so it's one of the few places where you're going to hear double dulcimer stuff when we work together, which is nice.
Yeah, it's just terrific. I've seen some of that online, and mm-hmm. it's just terrific.
Yeah.
Recently, you mentioned that you ran into somebody from Amazing Grace. Is that right?
Yeah, 3 nights ago, actually.
Tell me about that.
I was doing a house concert up in Traverse City, Michigan, and one of the original hippies that started Amazing Grace was at the concert. He's moved to that part of Michigan now. And he was saying that those guys, a couple of them have died, but the whole crew has kind of stayed in touch. You know, they've kind of, and there's actually an Amazing Grace, I don't know, online, there's like a website, you know, Remembering Amazing Grace, and people can post things, post pictures, and they had a 40th anniversary a few years ago in Evanston, using a new venue to do concerts. And it was just such a formative time, because, and there was a woman at the concert who, like you, was in high school, first time she came to Amazing Grace, sitting on the floor. And I run into people all over the country for whom Amazing Grace was a formative time. It was just like the center of the universe. It was one of those places that just, you know, was magic.
Could you do one more song for us before we sign off?
Could I do you a poem?
Yes, you can do a poem. That'd be
all right.
Great.
I've been lucky. I feel really lucky that I've had, and I hope everybody has enough, just the right number of people in their life, far enough ahead of them on their path that, you know, the umpteenth time you're sort of picking yourself up out of the dirt, they're just up there going, forget about it, keep moving. And for me, it's been women who have just really excited me and spurred me on to just keep moving and growing. And so a friend of mine, a wonderful poet from Milwaukee named Louisa Loveridge Gallis, captured a moment like that in her life. This is called Basic Hygiene. Ethel Dahir always had dirt underneath her fingernails, even on Sundays. When we went to her house for pie made from strawberries right out of her garden, and coffee, all the grown-ups drank cup after cup, while Ethel squeezed me lemonade in a tall blue glass with clouds of ice. It was fascinating, the way Ethel didn't totally wash up before our visits. I'd sneak looks at those strange hands of hers, which I suppose were because Ethel lived in the country and had married a farmer during the Depression. Absolutely salt of the earth, my mom always said, as we headed away from town and toward Ethel. Reddish brown, like good rock. The backs of Ethel's hands made the teacup fingers of city ladies seem pale as slugs. Dark blue veins were rivers merging into her torn knuckles full of new scratches and tiny scars. I'd run my eyes along those rough, lined fingers until there they were, those jagged nails and that dirt beneath. And it left me to wonder about basic hygiene and the pie. Like, did she really clean those strawberries? Or had they gone into the cooking pot with just a little of the dirt left on them, too? I'd go home and I'd dream of Ethel's hands, of how life had gross and fertile secrets beyond my mother's house. And I'd wake up queasy, like when I'd see earthworms' slimy bodies on the sidewalks after heavy rains. One Sunday visit, Ethel took me out to dig potatoes after a sun shower. "Enough of all this chatting," she said. "Now's just the best time to stick your hand into the earth, poke around till you find a good-sized one, then loosen it up." Kneeling, she took those mysterious hands of hers, worked them into the ground, all wet from warm and rain, just to give me the feel for digging. I fell to my knees in my fancy clothes with a sudden thirst for the earth, plunged in my arms alongside Ethel, and right in that moment, when Ethel pulled up out of the dirt, right then, Ethel's hands flew into my soul like the book of Revelation. I knew all summer Ethel wore the earth like her Sunday clothes.
Wow, it's been such a wonderful moment in my life to have you on the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour today, and hearing just the continuation of what I used to see on stage in its grown-up form. It's been a terrific opportunity. Let's give Claudia Schmidt a great...
Thank you so much. Yeah.
We wish to thank Don and Jonah for their participation in the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour game show, Shoot the Moon. Wild Rose Moon has been produced with the support from the Marshall County Community Foundation, Judith Robert and Tom Kapusinskas, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon. You've been listening to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.
I also want to thank our special high school announcer, Plymouth High School announcer, Andrew Haynes, music producer, John Baylor, audio producer and sound engineer, Nate Butler, video producer, Sean Hasty, scriptologist, Elena Peacock, photographer, Matthew Bergmoser, stage manager, Howard Gibbs, applause master, Michelle Schricker, assistant director, Marsha Heinsberger, hospitality crew, Jean Pazderka, Jennifer Reed, Marsha Heinsberger, and systems analyst, J.R. Berger. John, have we escaped Earth's gravity yet?
We're long gone.
Take us away.
So when you think you've lost that light, oh, pain and heartache.
This has been a Wild Rose Moon radio production.